Oh, boy. Thanks, brother. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill. How are we doing this morning? Good. Good to see everyone. Raise your hand if you need a Bible, and our usher will get one to you. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. There we go. They're going out. You can keep it if you don't have one, too. And for the Christmas Eve service, Gabe forgot to mention he's going to bake a bunch of desserts for that. So you can just look forward to Gabe's cookies and cakes and scones and biscuits, and give him requests, and he'll take care of that. But anywho, truly good to come together this morning in the house of the Lord. And as we do gather this morning, there's so much to be joyful and look forward to with excited hearts. And at the same token, there's things that has this pastor's heart burdened right now. And some of those things, just to lay out, is one, I shared on Wednesday, but I had attended Chapel Hill and Carrboro City Schools meeting this past week, and it was with the New York, wow, you remember I'm from New York, North Carolina legislators, and it was addressing some concerns about some truly inappropriate books that were in the school system, and you can check online. It's all in there, but I attended that and was really burdened, because ultimately when you're sitting in something like that, both sides think so vehemently, we're right, and we know there's a side of good and there's a side of evil. But ultimately, as a woman behind me who was for keep the books kept saying our Savior's name, it just kept resonating in my heart. That's actually the only answer right now. That's the only answer. Jesus. He's always been the only answer, and that's never going to change. So we look at that, then we look at what took place at Brown University yesterday with a shooting there taking place, and we see, as of now, at least 2 dead, 9 injured, and then we look at what happened in Australia on the first night of Hanukkah, as we, you know, have that beautiful time starting and a time to pray for the Jewish people again, that they would come to know the Lord. And we look at that, and I believe they said, I think it's 11 dead in there. And so as I look to all of these different things this morning in my time of prayer before us all gathering, just pretty burdened, just to realize that there's a lot of hurt. And there's a lot going on. And just to remind us as the bride of Christ, we've got to engage in prayer, civically, locally, be engaged. It's not getting political, it's getting biblical. And just to intercede in prayer in this time of year when we are giving gifts, y'all, don't forget to give the best gift of all, Jesus, the gospel. If you're writing letters to folks, if you're doing things, put a little Jesus in there. Don't leave him out. Don't have it be. Do they like Jesus? Make a love on the Lord God Almighty and give the greatest gift that we have. Because I'll tell you, you know, looking at it all, at the same token, there's a burden, but then there's, as I, you know, hear everybody coming in and then I start seeing folks, I'm like, there's also a lot of hope. Because every single one of you knows how to radiate the joy of the Lord. Now imagine if you take that beyond these walls and just start telling everybody about Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life. The one hope, the one answer. Boy, is that a chance for things to shift. Boy, is that a chance. Remember, our King, he's long-suffering. So I just, he's wanting all to come to repentance. So I just encourage us, Bride of Christ, give people Jesus. I know I sound like a broken record of late, but give people Jesus, because they need it right now. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the chance to come together, Lord. And Father, as we do gather, Lord Jesus, I do pray for our local area. I pray for this nation. I pray for this world, Lord Jesus, right now. Father, the bride of Christ has taken the sidelines in so many areas, Father God. And Lord, I pray you stir the hearts of your people to stand for you, to stand for truth, and to share the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, we pray for those impacted by the recent tragedies. And Lord, we pray that you bring believers around them all, Lord, to be comforted, to have the hope that comes from Christ alone. And Lord, I pray that as people look at these incidents, Father, the enemy just seeks to further divide, yet there is one equalizer, there's one that unifies, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Father God, I ask that you fill your people to overflowing with your Spirit to boldly give this world Jesus, the only hope there is. Father, as we gather right now and prepare to go into your word, equip us, Lord. Feed us, Lord. Grow us, Lord. Convict us, Lord. Father, that we would be people hungry to do the work you've called us to do. Lord, not getting lost in the things that seek to divide in a culture that is so divisive, Lord, but that we get lost in you. And that we go forth proclaiming the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, thank you so much that you are our joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you, Lord, that we can rejoice in this place because we know who is in control. Yet, Father, help us to not let that be a secret that we don't share. Have your way in this place, Lord, this morning. I ask that you fill me and use me for your glory, Lord. Give us all ears to hear, Lord. And Father, help us to let you till the soil of our hearts, that the word that goes forth, Lord, would land on good ground to yield the crop that you need for your glory. In the incredible name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. All right, so we are continuing on in Acts chapter 15. If you recall, we started this last week, and I love this picture because it's just what you see going on. Lots of mouths talking at one another in this text. And the title that I gave the message last week, and this is part two of What's Love Got to Do with It? So if you want to start singing the song, wait till later. But what's love got to do with it? And as we started to walk through this, if you recall last week, we talked about how there's this group now coming. There's this group of Pharisees that took the journey all the way to Antioch to make sure that they helped them understand, okay, yes, you've been told that believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved, but there's actually more you need to do. That's not good enough. You need to be circumcised and you need to follow the law. Do those two things, then you're really saved. And we see that this comes about, and we watch that there's a conflict that came. There's a conversation that goes through with this conflict, and we're going to see today that conversation continue. Then we're going to see the conclusion that comes about from this, and then we're going to see how they carry on after this moment of conflict. Now, what's interesting when we were walking through this text, we were reminded last week that there are some things that are foundational. And the issue at hand here, foundational issue of the faith, salvation. I think we could all agree that's a pretty big one. How does one get saved? And we know we have the whole counsel of the word alone. We're saved by what? Grace, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do we have to do a bunch of works? No. Remember last week with Family Church, we had the rodeo going on, and we'll get to see the push-up challenge with Tamara and Paul after the baby's born, so that'll be exciting. But remember, we saw it's not about works. There's nothing that we can muscle our way into. There's not something that we do to make this all happen. And then we were also talking how there's a big picture issue here, and then there's a little picture issue. There's things that are preferential that sometimes we can let the preferential become divisive when it really shouldn't, because it's the foundational things that we should focus on. And then we're going to see at the end of this chapter, not today, but next week, we're going to see conflict again, but it's going to be personal. And that personal conflict, again, we're going to see a way to handle personal conflict that doesn't then involve slander or the things that our culture does today where, you know, if you're going to divide, then you got to divide and have banners and have a big parade with all these people. But no, they just carry on with their convictions from the Lord God Almighty, focused on the Lord God Almighty. So the charge last week was twofold. One, is it grace alone? And that was a chance to prayerfully examine your lives, your own journey. And we're going to be reminded in the text today that we grow in grace of the Lord. But asking ourselves, are you seeking to continue to walk in grace? And have you made your relationship with the Lord focused on his grace? Or has it become something where it's actually, you look at it, it's like, oh, it's more about works because I kind of have the checklist. I'm doing all the right things. I'm a good Christian. The grace of God. And then to examine, are you foundational or preferential? Because that's something we all have to continue to search our hearts. Am I making how I live day by day and how I interact with other believers about the foundations, or am I making it about the preferences? You know, I just can't go back there till they paint the walls purple. I mean, I really need purple walls. Where are you with that? Is it foundational or is it preferential? So we're going to continue on in this journey today. And before we do, I want to have us look at one passage, because where the text moves on this morning is going to remind us of the necessity and of how the Lord wants unity amongst his people. He wants us to have fellowship, and in that fellowship, he wants us to have unity. So let's turn, before we dig into the text, to Ephesians chapter 4. And I just want to have us look at these verses in Ephesians chapter 4 as kind of a reminding ourselves of some words on unity within the bride of Christ. So in Ephesians chapter 4, we see, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. How is the character of that? With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So there's an endeavor towards unity. There's an endeavor towards peaceably working and being together. Why? There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is all and who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace, a theme we're going to hear so much today. Grace continually put forth. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So there's a purpose behind the different gifts that he gives. It's about edifying one another. It's about unity of the faith that we walk in, that we believe, that we're saved by, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And there's an application there, because what we're seeing go through, it's like, no, we're not going to change and make salvation adding all these other things. And it's a reminder to us in that unity to stay grounded on the foundational things. But speaking the truth in love. And notice it doesn't say ignore the truth, hold it back. That's why my heart breaks. Bride of Christ, stand up in the times we're in. Speak the truth in love. May grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And notice that bit. Every part does its share. That's part of us when we are the bride of Christ, Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, every person that this is my church doing their part. And if you sometimes you can say, well, it's a season, it's too busy. You can always pray. Don't forget that. That's the strongest thing. How much do you pray for the bride of Christ? That's a powerful thing that we can do. So we're reminded today in the resolution that comes forth of unity. And I wanted us to look at that text to just remind us of another place where we're seeing the necessity of unity within the bride of Christ. Unity that we all come together, because the Judaizers here, they're coming forth and they've got what they believe needs to be done. And as we look at this conflict, remind ourselves, there's an issue of grace over the law. Those two are combating each other with these guys. And that struggle, saints, it's still present today. Legalism is still present today. There are folks who will say, well, if you're really a good Christian, ladies, then you all need to have your long jean skirts. And if you don't have your long jean skirt, you must not be saved. Okay, there's a legalistic view where we add all of these things. When we look in 2026, when we do a series, Contending for the Faith, we're going to look at certain things like Jehovah's Witnesses, like Mormons, all these different areas where it's all about works. It's still present today. And even within the bride of Christ, as I point to that legalistic thing. So realize that's a battle that's still there. Grace over the law, the battle that we see going on, foundational over preferential, a battle that we see between unity over division. Because we're going to see James, through a word of wisdom, give the folks an understanding, hey, these are the things that you got to focus on, these are the things that you don't, and there's a reason for that focus, the fellowship and the unity. And in that, it ultimately becomes a battle that's always present, the word of God versus the word of what I like to say, self. And sometimes the word of self, you have the word of God in front, but you're taking the word of God, twisting it, tweaking it to put it in the box of what you think it should say, rather than just taking it at face value as the authority that it is. That's where it gets tricky, because you don't take the word of God as an authority, but it is an authority. So reminding ourselves where we were last week, we're going to just glance through a few verses before we stand and read together. Verse 7 of chapter 15. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them. So we talked about how Peter's the one who comes up. Remember, he's the one who the Lord says, I'm going to build, you're the rock I'm going to build the church on in Matthew 16, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Remember Acts chapter 10, and he's saying, I told you all this. You knew what took place, that the Lord had me go forth, and this vision comes, and then it's going to the Gentiles. So God, who knows the heart, remember we talked about the heart issue that it is, and the Lord's the only one who knows it, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them. He's putting that forth. Remember, we talked last week that there's no distinction. But you're trying to put one in there. Look at what he did. Look at what the Holy Spirit did, how the Lord moved through the Spirit of God. There is no distinction. So why are you trying to put one there? Purifying their hearts by faith. And that's an important piece to remember there, this by faith, because that's how salvation takes place. Grace by faith. Believing, faith in the Lord God Almighty. And that's what he did. He purified their hearts by faith. So then he says to them, now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? He's kind of like, hey guys, remember all those laws? None of us have followed them. What are you doing? The Lord freed us from this, and you're trying to put it back on them, and you're putting something on them that even we can't do. What are you doing? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. And this is an important piece, because notice, it's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps emphasizing faith and grace, faith and grace. And the way that they came to believe was faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way that any are going to come to believe is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace, the free gift that he gives. And then when he says all this, there's a silence that comes. So let's stand all together right now. That's just our little recap of where we were. And let's read verses 12 through, let's read 12 to 21 together, just to walk through this next portion. So we read all together. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath." Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. Father God, I would ask that you help distractions be put on pause, that we focus on the manna of your word alone. Lord Jesus, I come in awe of the gift to preach your word, to teach your word. And Lord, I seek your precious forgiveness, Lord, for all the times that the enemy can have winds with fear, with doubt, with any, whatever it is, Lord. I just cast it all at the foot of the cross, Lord, to come before you, asking you for a filling afresh, Lord Jesus, to be filled by you, my mighty King, to bring forth your word to your people, to feed them, to tend to them. Lord, give every word that is needed, what you want illuminated, what you want focused on, what you want stressed, every single detail, Lord, please bring it through me, your under-shepherd, to tend to the precious saints of Calvary Chapel of Chapel Hill. Lord, I would ask, teach us all, lead us, grow us for your glory. In the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Grab a seat. So we walked through, before reading all together, what Peter says. And after Peter's response, notice, then all the multitude kept silent. So there's, remember, they've gone to have this little gathering right now, and this conversation comes, and it's not one of those moments where he finishes talking, and then right away, kind of how, if we're real, some of us would do, he talks, "Well, hang on, go back to what you just said about da-da-da-da-da, I want to talk to you about that, hang on." No, there's a silence. There's a listening, there's a, okay. And then what do? They listen now to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. Remember, these miracles, these wonders, what did they do? We've talked about it before. They just validate what the Word of God says. Every time we've seen it, the Word goes forth, then the miracle and wonder happen. It's not that it's all about the miracles going forth. And they don't have to lay out every single detail. In this context that we have, Luke doesn't give us every detail that took place there. We have the chapters 13 and 14 right before this. But he points and reminds, these guys remind them, hey, there's many things that the Lord did. The Lord God Almighty, he saved them, and then he worked among them. And when they hear that, what do? Verse 13, and after that, they had become silent. There's times when conflict comes where we need to have hearts that are able to be silent, to let the Spirit of God speak. Not keep filling in words, not keep trying to interject or say these different things, but just give a moment for some silence. It's a reflective silence. Let the Spirit of God speak. So then now James comes forth. Now, if we look at the book of James, we see a lot of references to the law in James, and James was probably the one these Pharisees would have been like, okay, he leans more conservative. He's going to be the guy who's going to say, okay, you know, I hear you guys, but the law, we still need to think about that a little bit. There might have been that hope from some of them in this moment. But let's see what he says. Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. So he goes with, okay, this is what's been stated. And then, verse 15, and with this the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. James does something wonderful here. He comes in agreement with the word of God. And that's a beautiful, vital reminder to every single one of us. When we're having these discussions, and particularly these discussions on foundational things, put the word of God in the center of it. And it's putting the word of God, as we're going to see the passage he uses, putting it in context. I repeat, in context. Because far too often, the word goes at the center, but it's kind of the cherry pick. Well, let me take this, and I'm going to put it there. And it's like, whoa, hold the phone. Let's look at the whole picture of what's being said there. So we've got to take it in context, and that's what takes place here. So James comes in agreement, which those Pharisees might have been like, okay, there must be something here. Let's hear this. And he uses scripture to agree with it. He puts scripture at the center. And he quotes from Amos, and we'll read verse 16, 17. After this, I will return, and we rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. So he comes, and he quotes Amos chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. It's interesting that Amos is where he goes. Amos, a shepherd farmer who the Lord calls. It's not like he has a bunch of training, has a bunch of expertise. When the Lord calls, the Lord gives him this calling to go forth. He goes forth in obedience, and a lot of people, majority of them, don't really listen. They kind of just ignore. But he does what the Lord asks him to do, but they ignore the truth because the Lord brings forth truth through him, and it's ignored. And it's interesting that the prophet he brings up is in this context where, guess what's being ignored? Truth. Truth is going to be ignored. It doesn't change the truth. You get that? Just because it's ignored doesn't mean it changes it. It's like if we take, for example, rapture. Some folks want to ignore it. Okay, that doesn't change that it's going to happen because it's the word of God. You can't, just by ignoring, change things. Even though I think we can, not listening, still happening. Can't change it. Now, this passage that he quotes is interesting because when you've gone through the whole book of Amos, it's just about judgment. And then this is that part where it changes to give this message of hope. It ends with truthful hope. God's going to restore. God's going to rebuild the covenant from the Davidic line that's going to take place. And even Gentiles, they too will come and be saved. And what is it? And how is that fulfilled? Through Jesus Christ. Gentiles coming, and this is pointing to all that's going to come, end times that's going to come. Powerful passage that the Lord God Almighty has him use in this moment, and it's a reminder to us. That's why we're students of the Word, and when that moment comes, what does the Lord always remind? Through the Spirit, he's going to give you what's needed. And he brings forth the scripture, of course, and this is what goes there. Now, if you look, this is just a side note to you, that something that's interesting, because when I was going back and forth between Amos and here, I noticed that 17, so the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, but when you look in the Old Testament, it says they may possess a remnant of Edom. And just so you understand why that's like that, it's not that there's a difference or discrepancy. The Septuagint, which is the Old Testament translated to Greek, when you look at it, they translate the Greek there as Edom, meaning Adam, meaning mankind. So that's why that's there. That's just a side little nugget to plant in your brain so that if you go back later and look, you're not like, wait a second, that's not the same thing. That's why that's there. So what's interesting here, in using this passage, James is saying to these folks, hey, guess what? The Lord God said that this was going to take place. Everything that Peter, Paul, and Barnabas just pointed to, the scripture agrees with. And the Gentiles are going to come to salvation through Jesus Christ, not through Israel. Notice it's not that that passage says even all the Gentiles who are called by Israel, no, called by my name. The Lord Jesus Christ, the name alone, the name above all other names, the name that brings salvation. So that's where that ties in, and that's why we study the whole counsel of the Word of God, because then it's resisting, because we could then now look at this same two verses he brings up and then tie it to the millennial reign, to the end that is all to come. All right there in those two verses he puts before them. Then he goes on, verse 18, known to God from eternity are all his works, reminding of the sovereignty of God. And now he brings forth his decision. Therefore, I judge. And we're going to see here what he brings forth. He's going to bring forth through the Spirit of God what we could see and categorize as a word of wisdom, where there's a critical issue that arises and there's an important decision that needs to be made. And the Spirit of God leads James to come to a conclusion that gives that answer. That's clearly the Spirit of God. And the letter they write points to it being the Spirit of God. And the Spirit gives the words and that decision. And when the word of wisdom comes forth like that, that's when the people there all, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. Yes. And we're going to see that take place here. So he says, therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God. He kind of puts forth there, they don't have to do this circumcision thing and they don't have to do this thing that you're saying about the law. But that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. So he points to these things that do need to be taken care of, that do need to be paid attention to. And this is where sometimes when folks look at this passage and then look at the letter, they're like, hang on, wait a second. You're saying, he's saying the law doesn't matter, but then he's given them things that they're supposed to do. This makes no sense. Make it make sense, Pastor Vince. What's going on here? We've got to understand what he's laying forth isn't about salvation. The salvation issue's punked, finished. It's been addressed. Now what he's laying forth in these verses when he's saying, but we should write to them about these things that they need to do, which are two categories. Immorality is the one area that needs to be addressed, and idolatry ultimately is the other, but four things underneath that, things polluted by idols, sexual immorality, things from that have been strangled, and from blood, let all the blood be drained out, and reminds them, Moses, this all comes through. This is in relationship to what the scripture says, and that's why he's putting it forth, because he's pointing to them, Jewish folks, we need to let go of the circumcision and them following the laws because we want fellowship with each other. The Jews and Gentiles to have fellowship with one another. And then now to the Gentiles, it's like, why don't put up walls that prohibit fellowship? Because the things that are being pointed to, these are now not salvational issues. What basically James does is it's, we've got the doctrinal addressed. Now we need to go to the practical. And for the practical, there's some things we should think about because culturally, think about what this would be. What did the Jewish people think of all Gentiles? Every single one of them sexually immoral, those pagans. That's going to be a little tricky to then do life the way they were doing at this time. House church. They were gathering together frequently. Think of how much we've seen them in prayer and they're coming together. You want to know where the potluck began? Potlucks began in Acts. That's where potluck started with all these churches coming. They would come together, the people, and they would gather and they would be in fellowship. They would break bread. They would observe communion. That's where it all comes from. So as he's pointing to this, James is saying, hey, we've got to address certain practical things so that there's no hindrance from fellowship with one another. Because what's the heart of the Lord? Unity. Now understand, we're going to see later, Paul address these things, and he's going to say, if this is going to make your brother stumble, don't do it. It's going to come up. And guess what's going to come back again? The issues about the law. Look at Hebrews, look at Galatians, those books. It's going to come up. The root starts here. So it's not like this decision, there's no more conflict. No, it comes up. But it's made clear in this, the salvation issue is taken care of. And now we've got to remember the Lord's heart for fellowship. He wants his people together. And in Jew and Gentile coming together, Gentiles, there's some things y'all need to just put on the side there. And clearly, all believers should not go into sexual immorality. But remember, we're talking Leviticus. We're talking the family relationships deeper, the Levitical law, things that are stated in Deuteronomy, pointing to all of these to say, hey, no, it's a no-go. Because the Lord wants us to have fellowship together. So he brings this all forth, and let's see what the response is. Verse 22, then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. So we see here this decision comes forth, and it's not that then, you know, okay, and then there was a bunch of fighting and disagreement, and why are we going to send that? No, there's that word of wisdom's come forth. Yeah, let's move forward with this. They're pleased. All present, the group that's there, they let the whole church know, everyone's pleased, and they move forward. And they say, okay, let's now bring this. Let's get a communication that sends this to them. In our day, they probably then would have said, all right, let's get on Twitter and make our statement, but there's no Twitter then, so they write a letter. They wrote this letter by them. The apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. So the communication goes forth. The doctrinal issue is clearly addressed, and they come forth addressing it, but making it clear, those who brought this to you never really had any authority to bring it anyway, and never were the ones to come speak this to you, but they make it clear they're unsettling your soul, they're telling you these things you need to do, and we never told them that that's what they were supposed to be doing. But to us, we came together with one accord. Notice how often we see that phrase in Acts. And when we look at what's going on in the Bride of Christ today, when we look at things like Charlie Kirk's assassination and how so many pulpits, silent on that, we're not going to talk about that, that's controversial. Hold the phone. If our one accord is upwards towards the Lord God Almighty, guess what that means? We need to talk about being salt and light. We need to talk about the fact that the world's a mess and there's only one answer, Jesus. Don't get on this side, don't get on that side, Jesus, and give Jesus. So that's that one accord. And we need that one accord where we gather and hearts are upward. Hearts are for the will of the Lord God Almighty. One accord with one accord can't happen with the me, 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 me chorus. With one accord only happens when you remember it's all about you, Jesus. And you surrender and you're there. So they point out to that and they choose men, beloved men to go, and they validate these are legit dudes that are coming to you. We didn't just, you know, find somebody, hey, are you busy right now? Can you take this letter to these folks? No. These are people who risked their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, reminding of the Spirit of God, lest we be a people who don't talk about the Holy Spirit.
the Holy Spirit has put this there and made it clear, and we are in agreement. These are the things that we focus on because we want to preserve unity. Goes from the doctrinal, shifts to the practical, and it's about preserving unity. There's another piece to this. This is early on. The way this went down, imagine what could be done to the witness of the bride of Christ. Look at how kooky they are, and they're all fighting with each other. It's that old song, "They will know we are Christians by our love." Good. You all know that one. It's a good one. But how sometimes the world would never know, because the love ain't there. We've got to have that. Basically, it's like, listen, these things that are coming there, when you get to the potluck, bring kosher meat, okay? Just make it easy. Don't make it a challenging thing for these people. The doctrine's been stating, and then it's going to the practical. The letter's given, and look at how the carrying on now takes place. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multiple together, they delivered the letter. So they go forth in obedience. They take the letter that's been given. We're going to go forth. We're going to bring it to the people. And you can only imagine what it would have been like for these. Okay, they're here. And how many of them stand there? Am I going to have to get circumcised and follow the law after this? What's about to go down? Read the letter. You know? And look what takes place. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Praise the Lord. And notice, there are boundaries put in this letter. There's things that are suggesting, hey, you have to give up some stuff for the unity, for the fellowship of one another. And it doesn't say when they read it, they were upset. Who does James think he is to send this letter? No, they rejoiced over it. And you can imagine there had to be some relief. Phew. We don't have to get circumcised in the law. I don't have to go learn all these things. Hallelujah. You know, there's a relief, a moment of, I would have relief for crying out loud. You know, relief, okay? Rejoicing over that, and they're encouraged. They're encouraged by what comes forth. Because guess what they realize? This is love. Them coming, sending this to us, giving us clarity on this because they love us and care about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're encouraged. They're excited about it. They find that love. Then we go on. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. The door's open. They're there. So it's not like they're going to just go deliver the letter and bye-bye. No, let's now strengthen. Let's encourage one another. Boy, oh boy, do we need to remember that and do that. It's like when you have, sometimes folks will be passing through and visit this church for just a Sunday or two Sundays and they're visiting while they travel. Let's encourage. Let's strengthen one another. That's the beauty of the bride of Christ. I remember when I was singing out in Colorado, I would go to different Calvary chapels out there, and each one, it was great. I go, and they're like, oh, we've got a bunch of barbecue. Let's fill your car up. Praise the Lord. And it strengthened me physically and spiritually. Woohoo. But that's a beautiful thing that we do. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. So all of them then, not only are they're going to go back, but it's like, let them know we say hi. Let them know that there's a care, there's a gratitude for this. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. And that takes place. You know, he's there. It's like, you know, I know we're going to go back, but Lord's leading. I got to stay here. I got to do some more things. So he does, and Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch. They stayed too, and what do? Teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. This all goes down, and what do they carry on doing? Preaching and teaching the word of the Lord. Not the word of self, not any agenda, not trying to say, well, now that most of them are gone and this is resolved, can we actually really talk about that letter? You know, in the meeting, I just found James a little short and, you know, we should revisit this maybe. No, there's none of that. They carry on about what matters most, the word of the Lord, the gospel, getting people to grow, to know, to grow. The word of the Lord is the focus. The word of the Lord is what carries on. What's love got to do with it? Well, guess what? If you love him, you want to know him more. If you love him, you want to know his word more. If you love him, you surrender your will and ways. And then if you love him, you love his people. You love his people. When we look at this text, you know, it reminds me, and soberly reminding, there's a lot of division in the bride of Christ globally over selfish reasons that often tie to preferential, because we make it about, it's like people make their own law. You don't need the law from Moses. People are making their own law. Well, if it's not like this, I'm outie. And then we've got consumeristic Christianity. It's not like this where, you know, there's not as many options. It's just, okay, I'm outie. Let me get on maps, churches near me. Whoo, there's about 50. Okay, where can I go now? We've kind of lost that. And then with thumb world, we don't even have to communicate anymore. We just take to our thumbs. Tick, tick, tack, tack. And then I think of what I talked about at the start of this. What's going on right in our own backyard, Chapel Hill, Carbo City Schools. I think about what's going on nationally. I think about what's going on globally. And then I read teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. I think about what's going on, and I see that they exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. I think about what's going on, and I see when they read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. You know, this is a whole letter we have from the Lord God Almighty. Do you rejoice and be encouraged by the word of God and by what it may lead you that you need to do, what you need to follow, how you need to live? Because their carrying on was about the gospel. Our carrying on, conflict's going to come and go. Some of it's going to be foundational. Some of it's going to be preferential. I shared last week and reminded us about Calvary Chapel. Praise the Lord, all the core values went bye-bye in the car, so folks have it, or go to the website. Remind yourself, these are the foundational things of where you go to church. So you know, and it's all grounded in scripture. And then that way, when the preferential comes, they will know we are Christians by our love. By our love. And then focus on what matters. Preaching and teaching the word of the Lord. And we do that by how we live. We do that by how we address one another. All these different pieces. I want to look at Peter's words as we get ready to close in 2 Peter chapter 3. Because as we think of this, and he's even going to mention Paul, I think it's an apt scripture to look at in the context of where we just were. With conflict, and with doctrine and things being brought about. We read there, and we'll start 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Therefore, remembering that the Lord has a plan for salvation, that the day of the Lord, judgment's going to be coming because of all this, beloved, looking forward to these things, looking forward to all that's going to come, how should we do? Be diligent. Be diligent. Diligence is something we've lost a little bit. Diligence in this context isn't doing what you want to do. Being diligent is about digging into our mighty King. It's that Psalm 1 heart, delight in the law of the Lord day and night. To be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, pointing to that integrity of character. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Reminding, remember, he's long-suffering, and it can be a challenge where it's like, I don't know about you, anybody of late have the, come, Lord, rapture me now, let's go, what are you waiting for, I'm ready. You got to remember, he's long-suffering, and I have those moments where I'm like, Lord, do it now, sound the trumpet, and then I'm like, oh, wait, you want more people, okay, you're the creator. But we have that urgency, we want that. But it's about salvation. And then notice what he writes of the one who publicly rebuked him, where you could say, I'm not going to say anything nice about this guy. Listen, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. And now he addresses what Paul writes. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, pointing forth, you know, Paul addresses these, in which are some things hard to understand. There's some of it that, wait, come again? How does this go?
Which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures.
And that's an important thing there, because when we think of what we just saw with this, this is a doctrine of the faith that comes forth, and then there's the preferential bits. And this is a beautiful reminder where Peter's like, listen, yeah, there's some challenging things of scripture that to fully get, it doesn't mean that you then just take it and say, all right, well, let me twist it, distort it, let me put it in a bow that I like. No, what do we know with the whole counsel of the Word of God? Go to the Spirit of God. Spirit, teach me. Spirit, give me understanding. Tarry in prayer. Then start to see what the Lord might remind you of, different resources to understand, or a brother or sister, not just taking it and running with it.
You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, be aware of this, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked.
And it kind of calls out what gets done when we cherry pick and when folks are doing that. That's like the churches that do the social justice gospel. Call it what it is. It's wickedness. That's not honoring the Lord. That's taking his word and twisting it to be all these other things that it's not. Embrace what it is. Then what do we do? But, and you know from Psalms, when you see a but, there's a big addition coming. Because whenever the Lord says, no, 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 to this, he always is faithful, gives us something. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in that grace. You're drawn by grace. You're saved by grace. You grow in grace. Grace isn't something that just disappears when your name's in the book of life. Now you grow in that. The grace, the gift, the leaning into him, the abiding in him, and then grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Saints, you can't grow in the knowledge of Jesus without time in the Word of God. Contrary to popular belief, oh, I know the Lord so well. Oh, are you in the Word? Oh, I don't have time to read the Bible, but I know the Lord.
Make it make sense.
Got to be in the Word. You got to spend time with our King. It's a gift. It's a treasure. And then have the heart of where this ends. To him be the glory both now and forever. To him be the glory both now and forever. It's applicable to us, because boy, oh boy, is there the reality that in this time, there is so much coming for the Word of God. And I personally have found it fascinating, because things that you didn't hear some folks talk about as much, and it's the three things I often find that Paul in Scripture has us not be ignorant of: the gifts of the Spirit, the rapture, and Israel. And you've got folks committing so much time to these things to be like, no, the Spirit, God doesn't speak. When that which is perfect has come, he's done. There's nothing else. The church has replaced Israel. So stop praying for Israel. And there is no rapture. And they stand strong on these things and have lots of letters behind their names. Where are you being with those things? And bride of Christ, study them. And when you hear those things, don't have a muzzle on. Speak. Can we look at the Word together? I'm not being, was that combative? No, that's what I love to do. Can we look at the Word together? Can we put this in between us with a nice cup of coffee and do a little dive? And let the Word speak for itself. And stand on that. But then also, if it's something that, you know, well, I believe that church should only do hymns. And if you're not doing hymns, you must be heathens. Well, let's just agree to disagree on that one. Okay? And, you know, let's look at Psalm 150. I might throw that in there, but I'm not going to make that a hill to cause a huge uproar over. But that's something where let's just agree to disagree. Let's keep moving forward, because there's more important things. And there's a bunch of people while we're sitting here talking whom we don't know when they're going to breathe their last breath. And I really would like to know that they've heard the gospel before that happens. Imagine if that's what we cared about. charge for this week. One, do you build up or break down? Do you seek to build up the bride of Christ or break down? And there's folks who could be in the I'm building up, but when you get under the hood of what you're doing, you're really breaking down. So be real with this question. Are you building up or breaking down? And how's your heart of love? Love for the Lord, love for his word, love for his people. Can you put the unity picture up? This is an image I like to look at every now and then, because it reminds me there's a field out there. We're in a field of people, and we need the bride of Christ standing on the word of God, standing on the work of the cross, standing in the resurrection power of our King, unified. And as we are unified, we need to let the ones the Lord's drawing come in and all be unified with eyes on the cross. Nothing else. Just about the cross, just about the Lord God Almighty, building one another up, having love for the Lord, having love for one another. And when we look at everything that's going on in our world and the season that we're in, the last bit of this charge, what gift are you giving folks this year? What gift are you giving folks this year? Now, I'm not asking you to come in with a list of what you're buying your family members. Don't need that. But make sure that whatever's on the list, Jesus is there. Are there folks that you love and know that don't know the Lord? How are you going to share Jesus with them? Maybe buy him a Bible. And I'll tell you something that I had done once, which was wild. Someone who worked for me, adamant, I'm not reading the word. I'm not reading the word. I want nothing to do with that. And prayed on it with my honey bunny. And we got a Bible for this individual, engraved their name on it, and then gave it. I was like, yeah, I told you I'm not reading. My name is on it. And then suddenly, see a few, like a week later, can I ask you a question about this John thing? And
I thought you said you weren't going to read it.
But that's an example. Give Jesus and make it personal. Because that's the way, the truth, and life. That's the hope right now. So you build up a breakdown. How's your heart of love? And what gift are you given this year? Because when we look at this text, once the doctrinal thing was resolved, it was all about practical and preferential so that there's unity. And let's preserve unity. That's my prayer for this church, Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, because we got work to do for Jesus. And for 2026, I'm excited to meet with the elders and then share with all of y'all things the Lord's laying on my heart for this year ahead, to just lean into Chapel Hill and give them Jesus. Because that's what's needed right now. And we need everybody to do it. Not just the folks who go to Franklin Street and pray. We need everybody. Amen? Amen. We need everybody. Amen?
Amen?
All right, just making sure you're with me. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. Father God, for reminders from your word. Lord, of the gift of grace. Father, what a gift indeed the work of the cross is. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for recording in your word how conflict was handled, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder to not let little things get in the way of fellowship and unity. And Lord, to rejoice over your guidance and your leading. And Father, to keep our eyes fixed on teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. Father, I love that it's word of the Lord there, because when you are our Lord, that means we are in full submission and surrender unto you. Yes, you are our Savior at salvation, but Lord, help us to deny ourselves that you remain our Lord. That we not try to be our own lords and rule and make the own decisions and do it on our own, Lord, but that we always are surrendered and saying, Father, what would you have me do? Lord, I thank you for my precious brothers and sisters of this church. And Father God, I just ask that you Bless them. Grow them in your grace. Grow us in your grace, Lord, and in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and God. Lord, let it all be for your glory. And Father, I pray, stir the hearts of every single person here, Lord, to have a heart for the lost, to have a heart for the broken, to have the mind of Christ that is long-suffering, wanting all to come to salvation. I pray for travel mercies for my brothers and sisters, Lord, and bless the rest of their days with their families and whatever they are going to be about doing, Lord. Hold them and keep them and bless these people I love so much. In the name above all other names, the majestic name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Have a great afternoon.